Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Ribbit D, the Audio Devar Torah, the show where we talk about the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons. To keep this week, we're on Nitzavim Vayelech. We're almost at the end of Devar. We're looking at Perek Chaf Tet, Pasukim Tet to Yud. In the Pasuk, it says, right in the beginning of the Parsha, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem. You are all standing upright this day, all of you. Rasheichem, your heads. Shifteichem, your tribes. Zikneichem, your elders. V'shotreichem, your officers. Kol Ish Yisrael, all the men of Israel. Then it goes on to say, Tapechem, your children. Nisheichem, your wives. V'gercha asher bekirbecha. V'kerav machanecha, and your strangers that are in the midst of your camp. Mechote v'tzecha, ad shoev me'mecha, who are in the midst of your camp, from the water drawer to the hewer of wood, the hewer of wood to the water drawer, the one that draws the waters. And I have one simple question for us to focus on, for us to look at, and for us to talk about. Why are we listing all of these different types of people? Why do we go and say that you're standing, the heads and the tribes and the elders and the officers? Why list every single person? Why not just say, you guys, collective, you are all standing before us. Today, you're all here. And then he'll go on to keep talking his speech, his last days of his speech, the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Why list all of these different types of people? Wouldn't it have been enough to just talk about one item or one topic overall? He goes through each one. There must be a reason. So Rashi says, and the sources are from Chabad, you are all standing. The verse says, this day, which teaches us that on the day of his death, Moshe assembled the Bnei Yisrael in the presence of Hashem to bring them into his covenant. Moshe wanted to bring them all the people that were alive, all the people that were around. Moshe assembled them in the presence of Hashem to bring them into the breast, to bring them to Hashem. Moshe wanted to bless them. Moshe wanted to talk to them in his last few moments on the earth. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi also says, the leaders of your tribes, Rasheichem Shivtechem, your leaders, your tribes, refers to two separate entities, which does not make sense here, because your tribes includes the leaders. Rather, this means here, the leaders of your tribes. So it's talking about two separate entities, which really means the leaders of the tribes. So he's talking to all the people. He's talking to the leaders. He's talking to everyone that's around. And then Rashi also says, your elders and your officers. We learn from the order of this verse, in this verse, that the more distinguished ones were mentioned first. And after this, every man of Israel. So it teaches the idea, one of the first points to think about, those that do good in this world, those that lead by example, those that try to be involved in different things, those that try to make a difference in the world, those that try to accomplish things in the world, these types of people, these are the ones that will be mentioned first. These are the ones that will be accounted for first, and these are the ones that will be honored first. Pirkei Avos talks about, if you want to honor someone else, if you want to bring honor to this world, don't run after the honor, honor someone else, and flee from honor. The way that Hashem takes care of others, the way that Hashem clothes people, Hashem visits people, Hashem takes care of people, Hashem makes sure that there's enough money for everyone and everything, so too we should try to follow what Hashem does. And if we run from honor, Hashem barely gets credit for anything he does. And Hashem, we know, does everything in the entire world. He sets up, quote-unquote, nature. He sets up, quote-unquote, weather. And he sets up everything in the entire universe, but he never gets the credit. So that's how we should also be. Even if we're leaders, even if we're running ahead, we might be mentioned first, but don't seek the honor. The honor will come to you. If you don't run after honor, honor will run after you. Try not to glorify yourself. Try not to look after the honor. Try not to run after the honor. And then the Pasuk also talks and says, every man of Israel, because every single person is accounted for. Every single person can contribute. Every single person can do something. Everyone can contribute to the world, contribute to the Jewish people, whatever they can, little by little, whatever is their method, whatever is their ability. We all have to contribute whatever we can, and we're going to pick up on that idea also in a minute. And the Chabad.org also picks up that the Talmud in Pesachim tells the story of Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who fell ill and was at the brink of death when his father's prayers brought him back to life. When he came to his father, asked him, "My son, what did you see in heaven?" Rabbi Yosef replied, "I saw an upside-down world. Those who are on top here are on the bottom there, and those who are here, regarded as lowly, are exalted in heaven." That the leader or the sage is superior to the wood hewer or the water carrier is only from our earthbound perspective. It's only from our earthly perspective, our earthly viewpoint, which sees a hierarchy of roles. But when you all stand before Hashem, there is no higher, there is no lower. What seems low here is no less lofty and significant in God's eyes. Every single person is able to contribute. Every single person is supposed to do something. And that was also from the Al-Sheikh, from Chabad.org. And every single person has an equal standing before Hashem. Just because society doesn't get it, just because secular culture doesn't get it, doesn't mean that we don't get it. We have to realize that everyone can contribute, and everyone should be valued, and everyone should be appreciated, and everybody should be taken in. It doesn't make any sense to me. I tell my wife this all the time. It doesn't make any sense to me that the entertainers who take a microphone and sing, or someone who takes a pigskin and throws it across the field, or someone who takes a ball and puts it in the hoop makes 4,000 times what my wife makes and what I make. And we do really good stuff. You know, I'm a therapist and my wife is a teacher, literally forming young minds and working with kids in their hands, their fine motor skills, their writing, and they're cutting much more important things, I think, on some level than entertainment. Entertainment gets such a high regard in our society, in our culture. Where does that come from? Where is that from? Our Torah talks about how everyone is equal. Everyone is standing before Hashem. Everyone should get, not that it should be a communist society or a socialist society, but everyone should be reimbursed according to their, you know, abilities. Why should a football player get $20 million and a teacher get $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 or even $70,000, even up to $100,000? It's still nothing compared to that $20 million. What are they doing to contribute to society so much? Also, we have to realize that no one is better than anyone else. For some reason, a lot of entertainers, a lot of actors and actresses, a lot of people in Hollywood, even people in government, people in politics, feel like they are above the law. And they feel that they are greater than the law. The law can't touch them. But Hashem tells us, Hashem points out to us, the Torah tells us, everyone stands before Hashem, everyone is culpable before Hashem, no one is better than anyone else. And just because there's a king, there's a Kohen Gadol, doesn't mean that he's any more talented than I am, doesn't mean he's any more talented than you are. He has a special role, he has a special ability, and he may have many talents, but we each have talents, we each have what to contribute. We're all on the same level playing field. There's no such thing as a king, and I mean, there is a king, but in the sense of the European sense of the word, the old school sense of the word, where there was a king and nobles and then the slaves in the lower class. There's no hierarchy like that. There's no levels like that. We're all culpable. We all have to hold the same Torah. We all have to adhere to the same Torah. We're all on the same level. We have Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, and none of them are on any higher sect than the others. We each have our own missions. The Kohanim serve in the temple. It should be speedily rebuilt in our days, and Mirtz Hashem, soon. The Levim sing in the temple, and the Yisraelim help out in the temple, bring karbanos in the temple, but everyone have their equal level in society, especially Jewish society, and we're all culpable for each other. We're going to talk about in a minute, Kol Yisrael Avivim Selezeh, we're all culpable for one another. And the real ruler, the real leader, is someone who gets down in the dirt, someone who rolls up his sleeves and actually helps his fellow man. That's the type of leader we want to see. We all stand before Hashem. There's no higher, there's no lower. But it's topsy-turvy world that the world doesn't recognize and appreciate the saintliness and the sageness of the elders. I also think about how there's a study that there was a guy who was 93 and the hospital spent millions of dollars to save his life. And the reason was because he was like the inventor of the entire cardiac ward of the entire hospital. But they said The only reason they saved him was because whom he was. That means if any other 93-year-old would have come into the hospital, because, quote-unquote, there's not much life expectancy, there's not much that the person can contribute to society, the society places a less of a role of his value of life, and I'm not getting political, I'm just explaining an idea relevant to our show, that they don't feel like he has much to contribute. They won't spend the money. And that's a crazy thing. Every life is precious. Every life is important. Everyone has what to contribute. And there's no greater or less than person. He's not better than me. His blood is not redder than mine. But it's a topsy-turvy world because they look, society lauds X kind of people and then puts down everyone else. But in the world to come, everything is going to be shown that it was really backwards. We put on the pedestal the wrong people, and the quiet people, the people behind the scenes, the very modest people, those are the real good people, not the people that are going out and about and showing themselves off and traipsing all over the place and acting and singing and whatnot. That's not what's really important in this world. Hakol Hevel, all that materialistic things, that's Hevel. That's not coming with us after 120 years. The real singers who use Jewish ideals, Jewish songs, and Jewish messages to uplift and unite people, that's really good. Taking talent and using it for the good, that's really good. All the people, the backbone of society, the real backbone, that's who really is on top, and we'll see after 120 finally that it'll be shown in such a way. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi points out, like the various organs and limbs of a body, each of which complements, serves, and fulfills all the others, so too the Jewish people. The simple wood hewer or water carrier contributes something to each and every one of his fellow Jews, including the most exalted head. It reminds me of the idea, that all of us are like spokes in a wheel. If one spoke is missing, the wheel is not complete. And it's like we're all different aspects of a ship. If there's one hole in the ship, even if it's under my seat and we're all sitting in the boat together, the boat will still sink. You can't say, don't worry about it. The hole is under my seat. Who's it going to hurt? Who's it going to harm? I'm not bothering anybody. It's not going to damage anybody. That hole under your seat will still sink the entire ship. It doesn't matter if it's under your seat or it's under my seat or it's under his seat. The whole unit of the ship will go down. And that's the idea of the Jewish people. If there's one person that has a defect, there's one person that has a stain, the whole society, the whole Jewish people are culpable for. That's why it says in Pirkei Avos, Yeravam ben Nevat is someone who was machati, who was chote and machati achirim. He was a sinner. He needed people to bring him back. He needed people to correct him, maybe. He needed people, but he used the opposite influence. He sinned and made others sin. That one personality, the one aspects of the flaws and the blemish in his nature was shown about other people. Moshe, you know, Moshe Mizoche, Mizakis or Rabin, whatever the terminology is, Moshe was someone who was able to turn the people towards Hashem. He had the ability, because we're all culpable for each other, we're all in the ship of life, we're all responsible for each other. As the sages have said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out, all of Israel are guarantors for each other. Kol Yisrael Raven ze leze, the Talmud points out in Shavuos, but a person cannot serve as a guarantor unless he is more resourceful in some way than the one he is guaranteeing. For example, a poor man obviously would not be accepted as a guarantor for a rich man's loan. So if the Talmud says that all Jews serve as guarantors to each other, this means that in every Jew, there is a quality in which he or she is superior to all the others. And that comes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. We should realize, the main points to take out, we should realize every single one of us, from our woodcutters, our plumbers, to our judges, to our lawyers, to our kids, and the like, every single one of us, if we are alive today, if we are standing before Hashem, and it's apropos to think of this as we come to Elul when Hashem judges us and sees if we have what to accomplish in this world, if we have what to do to contribute to our mission in this world, if we have what we could do to be metak in the world, to fix the world, to help the world, what can we do to contribute? then we should realize if we're standing here today, all of us, Moshe is talking to us, Hashem is talking to us, all of us are standing here today. All of us are alive and so many of us are not around. We lost many people to COVID, many people to crazy diseases. Maybe, we never know any of the reasons, but on some level, maybe that their mission or their purpose was accomplished, be it if it was many years they had on this life or a few years on this life. We can't know Hashem's mechanisms and Hashem's reasons, but those of us that are around, and we shall be zocha to live 120, if we are alive standing here today, then there is something we must still do in this world to change it for the better. If we are around, if we are present and we are extant, what are we doing to contribute to the world? We're all standing here. We all have our talents and our abilities and our capabilities and our special skill set. I talk about this a lot because I find this very, very aspect is very passionate to my own life. And if it sounds repetitive, it's because it's so important. I talk about it on all my shows, but even on the Dvar Torah show, when we're brought into this world, we are the only person that will be here in this world. There's no other Reb T in the world. There wasn't a Reb T. There won't be a Reb T. There's only the Reb T now. And there's only one Shlomo. There's only one Yaakov. That's you, exactly you. Obviously, there are other people named Shlomo, but your essence, your being, your character, there's only one of you in the entire world. There will never be another exact existence of you in the years to come, and there never was the exact existence of you in the past years. You have a unique purpose. You have a unique skill set. You have a unique mission to accomplish in this world. What is that mission going to be? What is that purpose going to be? What is that what is that lifestyle, that lifetime of your life going to produce? We say in the Chosen from Birth to Fix the Earth show, which we did a couple weeks ago, the lecture series with Reb T, which is on all podcast forums, and Sheer Enjoyment, we say that we came into this world to do something, to make the world a better place. We have to do our part to be metaking the olam, to fix the world. We want to be able to say that the world was better for knowing us for hopefully 120 years. The world is a better place after we leave than when we came in. We're supposed to leave the world a better place than when we came into it. What did we do to contribute? What did we do to help out? What did we do to bring about more wonderfulness to the world? And I talk about it again and again because I use my own private example, my own personal example. I knew for many years that I love, love, love radio. I knew for many, many years I love, love, love audio and speaking. Back to college days, but even before, I even loved listening to radio, and Hashem put the idea in my mind that we have to use the voice. I have to use my voice to do something with it. In college, I used it for Narishkeit, and the metake and the fix is to use it nowadays for good, hopefully, for Torah, and for the OT show, and for lectures, and for the Daf, and the Parsha, and the Pirkei Avos, and of course, the OT show itself. That's my tiny, tiny dalet amos that I try to do only because of Hashem, only with the help of Hashem, nothing from me, only what He puts into my mind, what to think and what to say. But if you have a love, you have a passion, you have a desire to do something in this world, then do it. You have to do it. No one else is going to do it. B'makom she'in ish hishtadel lehiyos ish. One of my favorite phrases, like a mantra we talk about on the lecture series, from Pirkei Avos. In a place where there is no man, no one stood up to do the idea, nobody brought it to fruition. If you have an idea for a design, for a company, you have an idea for a design, for a book, you want to write a book, you want to do different things, you could be a talented writer. My wife is very talented with reviews and writing, also very talented in many, many areas, but that's just one of the many examples. If you're a really good singer, if you're really good with reading, you could read aloud to kids. You could sing to your own gender. If that's what you want to do, a girl could sing to girl, and men could sing to men. In the Jewish realm, that's how it could be done. If you want to do it in that sort of way, if you're holding up to the idea of Kol Isha or not. And again, if you're a writer, you could do great writings. And if you love trains, I say this example all the time, then why are you working in a bank at a job you hate? punching the number just because you want some money. Life is not about the money. Money comes and money goes. But we're all standing here today before Hashem. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. All of you, we're all standing here today before Hashem. What are we doing with our standing here before Hashem? How are we making a difference? How are we helping the klal? How are we looking out for one another? We should have sort of a pulse on the Jewish people. We should have like a vibe on the Jewish people. And we should understand that if the Jewish people are lacking something, there's something sorely missing. There's something that could be rectified or added or brought into our people. We should do it. We should stand up and do it. My wife always says she has a vibe about this person or that person or this one. I just have a vibe. I just get a feeling that this person is this and this person is this. And this situation is this. This store is this. She has like a sixth sense of vibe in things. And we too, we should have a vibe with our own Jewish people and our own families and friends. How can we check in? If we're all around, we're all standing. Do we look out for one another? Do we check in with one another? Do we try to cooperate with one another? How many phone contacts do you have? 200, 300, 400, 500, 600? How many of those contacts in your phone do you check in with and make sure that they're all standing together with you? What if they're lonely? What if they're lost in life? What if they don't know what they should be doing every day? What if they just feel the dull monotony of everyday in and out, especially in quarantine and crazy corona times? This could be, on some level, one of the many messages Hashem sent to us in COVID. He let us remain. He let us stand here before Him. Atem nitzavim hayom kolchem. He allowed us to survive Corona to this point. We should all be zocha to survive and live on me'avashem shana. What is the point of it? Are we checking in with our families? Are we appreciating in our families? Are we spending time with our families and with our friends? Are we taking aspects to be safe and to be smart and to be healthy? That means following what the CDC says. That means following what the government says. That means following what the rabbis say. And I don't understand why it becomes so political. It shouldn't be political. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of safety, a matter of health, and a matter of following the protocols. The masks and 6 feet are what the experts say. Became a whole hullabaloo, became a whole craziness with the Lives Matter movement and civil unrest craziness. But you're standing here today before Hashem. Follow the rules that Hashem gave through His agents, through the doctors, through the people who are making laws and the people that are making aspects of life. Hashem sends messages through various agents. He sent us Corona because He wanted us to learn, and He sent the Corona to take away some people, but to leave some people. Why did He leave us around? If we're around, we're alive today, it's for a specific reason. It's for a specific purpose. More than just taking care of your spouse and your kids, helping out your friends, helping out your community, helping out the society at large. What can we contribute? What can we do? What can we give? What can we be able to contribute? Every single person has a different job, a different occupation. You could be much better at your job than I am at my job. You could be a head of state. You could be a head of your company. You could be a head of a tribe, head of a mom and pop store, head of a group think organization. You could be the elder, the sage, who has so much value to impart, so many ideas, so much wisdom to impart to the rest of us. If only society respected its elders like other cultures did. I think in the Chinese culture or one of these other cultures, they literally take the grandparents and the great-grandparents into their home. They refuse to let them go to a nursing home, even if on some level it would be safer and healthier, and a little bit of a level if it would be healthy and safer. They refuse to do it because they have a very strong feeling of the family unit and that the young takes care of the old. That's kivud of the aim. That's taking care of the elders, not sending them away, not shipping them, putting them away in a nursing home where the person doesn't get visited, the person doesn't have people to come to see them. The Ziknei Chem, the elders, have much wisdom to impart. You know, that's what they say in Pirkei Avos. At each age, there is something to teach. There's something to learn. There's something to grab. There's something to do. You know, at 5, they learn Chumash, and then it's Mishnah, then it's Gemara, and then they go on to get married and pursue a livelihood, and they go on to be strength and have some understanding and give counsel. And then I forget the other ones, but living a good life and imparting wisdom from your life experience could be priceless. And we have to understand that those who are older than us, they can teach us so much. And that could be their mission, that their purpose. If they're alive in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100s, take the wisdom from them. Take the ideas from them. They're standing today with us before Hashem. We have to learn from them, and we have to be responsible for them, checking in with them, making sure we call our grandparents or at least every so often, and seeing how they're doing. Of course, me, I myself am guilty of this, but all of us should be better to learn from everybody, especially our elders. And then if you have the officer, do we have the proper respect for the law? Do we have the proper respect for the officer that's standing with us? It also could be a simple idea of manners. How often do people walk around and they don't say please and thank you? Every day, I walk my son to school. Now, two of the boys go to school. The little baby stays with me. I'm working remote because of medical accommodations. But when I take my son to school, and even the security officer, I don't know if he's an officer or whatnot, but I try to say good morning and I try to say thank you. How many people walk by him and they don't say thank you? They don't acknowledge the person. He's an officer, especially real officers of the law. If they're walking around there, they send out their crossing guards or they send out the traffic patrolmen. Just say hello to them. Say thank you for making us safe. Even though there's so much unrest and so many politics, the basic idea is understanding at face value, what is their purpose? What is the purpose of the police force? What is the purpose of those who are enforcing the law? To make us safe, to keep us safe, to keep our surroundings safe. If they're in your area and they're checking out something that fell or something that's missing or whatnot, thank you for coming and taking care of this. One time they came to investigate, a van was broken into. Thank you for coming and asking us. It's our pleasure to help you. If you have any other questions, please feel free to come back. Also, we forget to use the proper language and the proper tone of voice, the proper interactions with those around us. People become so cynical. People become so vile with their mouth. You have to be careful what goes in your mouth and what comes out of your mouth. You're all standing here today. Make sure you're standing in a nice way. At Temnit Sevim, how are you standing? How are you talking? How are you interacting with people? If you have the Shotrichem with you, and you have anyone in any job, give them the basic decency and the basic respect. Even when the mailman comes by, I try to say, thank you, Larry. Have a great day. Those few words can really change his whole day. I don't know. It's not magic. It's just the idea of giving people the time of day. He has how many blocks to deliver mail to? How many houses? How many families does he take care of? We saw a wonderful thing. There was a guy, a mailman, who was delivering mail for 40 years. He retires and he was having a very big existential crisis, or whatever the word is. Midlife crisis, but he wasn't midlife because he was ending his job after all these years and he didn't know if anyone he made a difference for. He delivered the mail for 40 years, taking letters, taking packages to different houses. And then there was a house he came to for the last time and the boy said, please wait, Mr. Mailman. Before you go, I want to give you something. And he gave him a paper. It was a picture of the mailman, a picture of the boy, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was something to the effect of, thank you so much for bringing my mail. You brought me joy, you brought me happiness, you brought me news and announcements. And this wasn't such a big kid, it was a little kid. He obviously probably did it with his parents, but he said, thank you for doing what you're doing, and we're going to miss seeing you every day, Mr. Weasley, let's say his name was, borrowing a name from Harry Potter, Lahavdil. We're going to miss you. And now the mailman got so choked up from this one kind gesture of this one family, this one little boy, giving him a note, giving him a letter, giving him a picture, showing him how much he appreciated. Because we're all here together. We're all standing together. We're all existing in this world together. But do we properly acknowledge each other? Do we properly talk to each other? It was a wonderful movement in the beginning of Corona when many people put on their doors, thank you to our essential workers. Thank you to the postal workers who bring our mail. Thank you to the nurses, to the doctors. Thank you to the construction workers, and thank you to the sanitation. But why does it take Corona for us to do such a simple thing? Why does it take a vile, destructive pandemic for us to do the basic decency of interacting nicely with those around us, talking to those around us, acknowledging and thanking those around us. We've been talking about this for a long time since the show came. The basic idea of Hakara Satov, my wife and I talked about way back in the beginning when we met each other, giving gratitude, thanking and appreciating those around us who serve us and who help us, even a barista, even a sanitation worker. Thank you so much for taking our garbage. You know how nasty garbage could be? It sits there, it smells, it takes up room, and you want it out. We don't even know. I was thinking the other day, I don't even know where the garbage goes. I tried Googling it once. It's like very complicated. It gets compacted. It goes to some area. They have to press it down. And it's not, there's not an infinite amount of area for the garbage to go, but they still take it every day. And we don't even know. It's like magic. It's an act of faith that we know the garbage is going somewhere, but they take it out of our sight and they take care of it for us. And the mail also, he takes the letter. It's literally an act of faith in mailing that letter, hoping it'll get to its destination by magic. But there's so many elements involved. We take it for granted. We take the garbage for granted. We take water, plumbing, electricity for granted. But all these involve workers and hundreds of ideas, hundreds of elements. All of these people who are standing with us today, working around us, we got to appreciate them, we got to talk to them, we got to understand that they should be thanked and they should be interacted with. Even the children always talk with a kind word and a smile. It's better to if you have to rebuke a kid, it's better to do it in a silly way, in a calm way, in a happy, positive reinforcement way than ever doing it with negative reinforcement or with punishment. Especially wives having a kind word for talking to them, especially when they come home after a long day, or you come home after a long day and you have 100 things to do, sit down, talk to them before you do anything else, giving them that preference, precedence, giving them that attention, putting them as your number one priority. People always make this mistake. I do also. When we're all standing here, we all have 100 things to do, and the kids come running in. Who is the first person you should take care of? You have 3 screaming children. I'll take an example from myself, and your spouse just came home from work. Who is the first? What's the first variable you should take care of? A lot of people would say the kid with the stinky diaper, the kid that's screaming at you that he wants milk, the kid that needs to go to the bathroom. I believe the answer is, and I'm guilty of not doing it enough, the answer is the spouse, because the spouse is your other half. The children, when they see that you honor your spouse, they see that you take care and you interact with your spouse, they will learn from that a good, beautiful, harmonious, proper relationship where ahava, the root, is hav, to give, a real relationship of love. And this applies not just to the spouse relationship, but friends. Someone who does things for someone else just on condition, that's not a real relationship of love between friends. The real relationship is hav, from Rabbi Dessler's book, Strive for Truth, when each person is giving 100% unconditionally. And when you sit down and you give your wife the attention, you give your husband the attention right away before everything else, that's giving preference, that's giving precedence, that's giving them the tide of day and the priority. Because we're all standing here today, we shall take care of each other, especially strangers or converts or orphans or widows. These are all people that are usually lost in the cracks in society. They may not be taken care of properly. The Torah tells us we have to go out of our way to take care of these people. And whatever the occupation is, whether they're a woodcutter or whether they are a water drawer, everyone has a place. And just because you're a doctor, also crazy that essential workers, there were such shout-outs for like 3 jobs. But what about when everybody else went back to work? Why don't we give huge shout-outs to the teachers and the therapists and the counselors and all these other people that are going back to work? There should be major shout-outs for them too. Every job should be respected. Every profession should be respected. And people that could fall through the crack, the Torah goes out of the way to tell us many times they need to be taken care of. They need to be watched out for. They need to be handled properly so that they're not lost through the cracks. They don't fall by the wayside, so they're not lost to everybody else. You, all of us, are standing here today. What can we do to contribute? How can we look out for everyone else? What can we contribute to society? What can we do to around us? How could we remember that we're all supposed to be on the same playing field? No one is better than anyone else. No one is higher in a hierarchy than anyone else. It's a topsy-turvy world we should remember about, and remember what's really the MS, what's really the truth, what's really considered lofty versus what's not lofty, and realize that everyone is in it together. We should all be in a unit together. We're all in the same ship. We're all organs and limbs of the same body of the Jewish people. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. If I have a hole under my ship, I need to patch it. We need to patch it, because the ship will sink no matter where it is. We all are, in a way, guarantors for each other. If we all have different skill sets, we should use our skill sets to help everyone else around us, and we should give our talents, give our abilities to be involved in whatever way we can to make this society a better place. If we are alive today, then everyone we interact with should be dealt with in a kind manner, a compassionate manner. Talk to the people around you, interact with the people around you, no matter what their station is, what their job is. They're a regular human being, just like us. Give them that time of day. And in that way, we could all stand today before Hashem, going into El, going to Rosh Hashanah, saying that hopefully we had a good year, besides for all our sins. Hopefully we will have a good year coming forward. Hopefully Hashem will give us many good years until 120 years. Hopefully the virus will be gone, the pandemic will be gone, and hopefully Hashem will bring Mashiach and the third Beis HaMikdash speedily in our day, especially if we do what we can to stand before Hashem today in the right way. Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. How are we all standing today together in the right way, unified before Hashem, taking care of His world, doing the mitzvah, stirring the chesed, bringing light in the world to make it as good a world as possible, day by day? This has been the Audio DT with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.